The following was originally broadcast on Northumberland 89.7 FM. For more podcasts and learn more about us, go to northumberland897.ca. And thank you for downloading this podcast.
Welcome to our program, Aging, a New Reality, a show that provides insight into many of the concerns that seniors have during their journey in later years. We talk to experts who will share their knowledge on subjects such as finances, nutrition, housing, and health. On today's program, Madeline Corelli will be talking to Ian Buchanan, who is a registered psychotherapist. They will be discussing the impact of stress on many seniors in today's turbulent world. Now here's Madeline.
Today it's my pleasure to interview Ian Buchanan. And Ian is a registered psychotherapist. And I think perhaps, Ian, you will agree with me that we are living in unusual times, times when a psychotherapist is often a really good contact to have to explore the kind of feelings that we all have living in very strange times, I might add. The last time we spoke, I know that we were in a pandemic, obviously, for the last 2.5 years, but we weren't in a war. There was not yet, as yet, a war declared between Russia and the Ukraine. And I think that adds an element of distress to people as well, on top of the pandemic, as well as the things that happen to us every day that create havoc. So I'm really thankful that you're taking the time today, Ian, to discuss some of the issues that face us. I'd like to introduce you and give a short bio just so that people know who you are. Ian is a registered psychotherapist, and he assists clients of all ages with a multitude of concerns and questions. He's offered his professional advice to many people, such as parents, employees, employers, and adults of every age. And today, of course, Ian, we're going to talk about older adults and the young adults that are in their lives as well. But thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I think this is a really important topic, and I know that people wonder what to do when they're so stressed, they don't know what else to do. So I'd like to start to ask you about stress and the stress that many older adults have felt with this ongoing pandemic. Can you talk a little bit about that stress and also the kinds of interactions that you have with people when they express this feeling of fear, anxiety, et cetera, dealing with specifically the pandemic, but now I'm thinking we can add war on top of that.
Absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for having me. I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to a wider audience than I get in my private practice that is going on locally. I do get very targeted there. So when I can address a larger group, it's kind of nice for me. Now, yes, I'm going to just say, wow, did you hit it with the stress the pandemic came along? The stress of that on top of all the changing restrictions, the being able to see people, not see people, shake hands, hug, has been very hard on so many people. And especially, I will say, and I'll include myself in the group of the older adults, of not being able to hug a grandchild or a newborn grandchild. And then you add the past, we're now into the second month or past of this war. And I know many of us had probably hoped we'd go our entire life without actually seeing a war. And well, it's here. And with the social media that is around, we are hit with it every day. Mm-hmm. And it's hitting very close to home with some people. And it's the stress of, how do I deal with this? Do I feel safe? Right? The pandemic made us feel not safe. We weren't safe to go outside. We weren't safe to, go anywhere without a mask. Did we, is that person vaccinated? Not all of these things cause anxiety. And anxiety has a very detrimental effect on our health, both psychological and physical. And anxiety has three different types. There's situational, anticipatory, and cumulative. And those of us who are in the older adolescents, we've accumulated a lot. Mm-hmm. Yep. And learning how to deal with that, learning how to deal with that cumulative anxiety, having tools and strategies that help us so that we're not focused on a doom and gloom, because the whole world isn't doom and gloom, right? As I said earlier, there are grandchildren. I myself had a new grandchild born during the pandemic. So although we haven't got to hold him, it was still there. There's still good news. They're still happy. There is still. Seniors are still, you know, moving, seeing people, having phone conversations, and learning new skills about how to use Zoom to talk to their adult children and their maybe grandchildren, or and even to talk to each other. So it's a time of learning new skills and learning coping techniques of how to deal with the stresses of life and horrendous life when we get these other events that are coming along.
You know, I agree with you. It's learning coping strategies, and also remembering that although there are many stressors, and as you say, as we get older, many cumulative stressors, I think it's also remembering how fortunate we are. You know, it's having gratitude that we live in a very safe country, relatively speaking, to other places in the world, certainly the Ukraine and the surrounding countries who are now dealing with massive amounts of migration. But when you're really scared and you really don't know what to do, the stress that you're under almost doesn't allow you to think clearly, right? You can't focus your mind and say, okay, you know, you're worried about how can I do something? You know, what can I do to make this all better? So what kind of advice do you give people when they say, I can't even think?
And that happens a lot. It does. And it is something, and again, that's where a lot of the social media comes in, is we're overwhelmed with, and, you know, on one hand, we can say, Canada, relatively safe country, don't really ever feel that we're going to be invaded as the Ukraine has, but it doesn't mean we don't have ties to the Ukraine, or we don't have ties, or our child's teacher is from the Ukraine, or her parents are, you know, or our neighbor. And yes, we come in with this absolutely overwhelming, I just can't think. Well, there are, again, coping strategies. There are techniques that we can develop. And these aren't huge. They aren't convoluted, complicated things. Far too many people think that because anxiety and stress and our lives are so complicated, that the solution has to be as well. And it's the old adage of KISS, keep it simple. You know, it's like that is. There are so many non-complicated de-stressors that we can practice on a regular, ongoing basis that help us to de-stress our lives, that help us to unload that cumulative anxiety, that help us that so that when an anxiety-inducing situation or an event presents itself, instead of us already being so overwhelmed that we just can't deal with that, and we say, okay, I got to put that away for later, and then we put it away for later and put it away for later, and we've got this huge later carrying around on our back that weighs us down. Well, if we develop some healthy coping techniques, then what happens is we don't have that stuff we're carrying around. We've learned how to unload it, how to take it off. And then when a situation presents itself, we're no longer overwhelmed to the point so that now we can actually look at what's happening and use our coping skills and keep ourselves from getting to that level of being so overwhelmed that you really can't even want to turn the TV on or open the door.
What would you say would be an easy first step for someone who's experiencing a lot of stress?
One of the first things that I ask people is, are you getting any physical exercise? And by that, I don't mean going to the gym and breaking out a sweat and you're using every muscle. It's like, did you get outside for 20 minutes today, even if all you did was walk to the porch and sit on the porch and have a coffee, right? Going outside for 15, 20 minutes is better. And any type of physical activity, take the dog for a walk, right? Go for a walk around the block if you're capable. If you're not, what are you capable of doing? Can you just go outside and, as I said, take your coffee or your tea or something else and sit on the back deck or walk down to, I know in our area, we've got the beautiful, you can go down to Coburg by the waterfront and not in the past few months where it's been a little on the chilly side, but it's getting to the warmer where you can go down and enjoy the waterfront. Get outside. That is something that is so simple. Just outside, we all feel better.
You're right. We're all, we need to breathe some fresh air as well. You know, the air in our houses or in apartments becomes very stale after a while. And stale means you're not getting enough oxygen to think clearly. And so, being outside is a very good example of what we could do, as well as I understand breathing deeply.
Yes.
And controlled is good for us as
well.
Yes,
I do teach a deep breathing visualization technique. It's a combination of two different types of meditation. And the reason we combine the two is when you're in a heightened state of anxiety or emotionalism, first and foremost, that's an emotional and psychological response to something. That emotional and psychological response causes our physical, causes that tightening, that stress that builds up. So if we just do one or the other, there's a lot of things out there that focus just on deep breathing. Well, that helps us feel good. That helps us feel relaxed, but we didn't do anything for the emotional and psychological. So when we incorporate a visualization technique and the deep breathing technique, we're helping to go what's called the desired state. And every human being's desired state is maximum relaxation and calm. Relaxation's the body, calms the mind. Now, we don't ever usually really get there. I don't think the Dalai Lama himself even really gets to that full state. But as long as we're working towards that, we can help keep ourselves at that calm level. Because when we're calm, we can think more clearly. We can make decisions more accurately. We're responding as opposed to reacting. Reacting is done emotionalism. Yes.
That's a really, really important distinction. That's really important because reacting means that you're in state of alarm.
Very much. Yeah. So, and when we are in a state of alarm, or heightened emotionalism or anxiety, and we react sometimes, or actually not some, quite often, those are the decisions that later on we look back and go, ooh, can I unscramble the egg? I didn't want scrambled, I wanted an omelet, or I wanted easy over, but we've scrambled it. So if we can make decisions in a responsive manner, as opposed to reactive, then those are much healthier and we're much happier decisions. Yeah. And we've thought them through.
I totally agree with you. I think these are, that's the thing, is most people don't have a clue as to how to do some of these activities. You know, I think they may have heard of the importance of breathing deeply. They probably heard that, exercising every day is a really good thing. Walking every day is a really good thing. But often those things go to the back burner because your stress is so all-encompassing that you really think, I'll have to do that later because I got to concentrate on the stress. But really, it would be much better if you let the stress go for a bit, if you can, and go outside for a while.
Absolutely. And part of what you just said there is that when I talk to clients, it's not that Ian is a miracle worker or any psychotherapist is a miracle. We're not. We don't have the magic wands that fix everybody. No, people aren't broken. What we do is we have the tools that we can help teach you. Often you already knew them. So we just then help you figure out, how do I work this into my day? My day is so busy. It's so hectic and rushed. And I'm going from till I get up until I go to bed. How do I work in this self time, this me time? Well, that's one of the techniques, one of the deep breathing visualization techniques that I teach clients. I start off by telling them, I'm not going to take 1 minute out of your day. Not one. And they'll look at me often and I'll say, how do I do that? I'll have to explain it to you when I tell you how it works. Because what we do is we start to learn that we can attach deep breathing and visualization to other activities, other things that we're doing at night and throughout the day, so that you're doing that multitasking. For example, there's a very good technique of doing deep breathing and visualizing while you're driving. Well, how many of us commute, right? And this is safe, right? This is all about being safe. You're still paying attention to the road and you're still there. But I talk to a lot of clients and I'll say to them, it's like, oh, well, you know, if you could find this time to do some meditation, it's like, Ian, I'm busy. Okay. How long's your commute? Mm-hmm. Well, it takes me 35, 40 minutes to get to work. Well, imagine if you spent 30 minutes on your way to work, focused on yourself and relaxing and calming yourself. And then on the way home, you spent 30 minutes while you're driving, focusing on yourself, relaxing and calming yourself. Well, how much better are you going to feel? Right? You're going to arrive at work much better. You're going to arrive home not carrying the stress from work, and you're going to be more present for your family. So it's all about working with somebody to figure out, how can I work these healthy habits into my day, which is so hectic. And it's not just the, you know, elder adults who will come to me. They're often busier than the people who are working. If you're retired, I know so many retired clients that I've worked with, and they often comment, I think I'm going to go back to work because I'm too busy.
Is that right?
Yeah. So they get much more hectic in their retired lives. Because everybody thinks, well, you're retired, you've got time.
You're listening to Aging, a New Reality on Northumberland 89.7. And now we return to Madeline Corelli and her guest, Ian Buchanan.
I'm glad you brought up older adults, because I think they're an interesting group personally, but
yes.
I think that aging is not how shall I put this? It is not deemed in our culture to be a desirable end game, that of getting old.
Yes.
Ageism is actually quite prevalent in terms of employment and in terms of attitude. But I look at an older person and I think, what are the worries that you have about aging? Like, what are the things that you're concerned about? What is it that's troubling you about the aging process, apart from the fact that, you know, you may hurt all over, or you can't move around as much as you used to, or you may have lost your spouse, or your children have all moved away, so, you know, you don't have any grandchildren around, or, you know, you don't have your child to talk to on a regular basis. So when they come to you and they ask for advice about their physical and mental age. Oh, I didn't even address mental aging. Yes.
Yes.
Which is, you know, you can't remember what you just said or where you put whatever that you need right now. When they come to you with those, what are they asking about? What are they mostly concerned about?
Well, to put it, what the clients come to me and often what they come and say, this is what I want to talk about. I'm like, okay, I listen and I read. But I really listen to what they're saying. And what they really come for is they're now being faced with their mortality, right? We all know that there's far less years ahead than we've already had. And if we focus on that, it can be very negative and down. So part of what I help them do is focus on, okay, how do you want to live the rest of your life? It's not going to be as long as you've had, probably, but how do you want to live that? So when we focus on the word could instead of should, people have a much better attitude. They feel much better. I tried to get my clients to eliminate the word should from their vocabulary, because should is a judgment word. You're passing judgment on yourself, usually, sometimes others, but you can always replace it with could. And that's a positive, uplifting word. I could exercise more. I could, you know, make more phone calls or visits. I could. So we're focusing on positive. So that's one big thing. The other thing, as you were saying, is there's an awful lot of decisions that need to be made in the with the elder adults and in the not just final years, but in the winding down years. Yeah. We need to make decisions. And this is the time when we really need to make properly well thought out decisions and not emotional decisions. The emotional would be the stubborn, I'm not leaving this house except in a box, right? They're going to carry me out instead of like, and I'll get talking to clients and it's because they're afraid of the unknown. That's what anxiety is. It's the fear of the unknown, right? I know my house. I know this. I've been in this house. I mean, I've talked to clients that have been in their house for 60 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not even 60 years old yet. And yeah, they've been in their house that long. They've raised their kids. They've done everything. So that house holds an awful lot. Mm. And telling somebody, well, it's just a house. No, it's not. It's a collection of all those memories and all that life that was there. But working with the elder adult and helping them to understand that you don't have to give all of that up if you look at moving into whether it's a retirement residence or assisted living or whatever. If you look into that, you're not giving up. You're not being put away. You're not off in a home. What you are is you're participating in the decisions of your future when you're still capable. And that's what I find a lot of them. The big fear is what's going to happen when I can't make those decisions anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're afraid of. So I try to work with a number of my clients like, well, let's make the decisions ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Right? Make them ahead of time. Talk about, and don't just sit down and think you have to decide now. Think about it a lot about why would you want to stay in your house? What would be good about moving? What would be not good about it, right? What's going to be better for you? What's going to be better for your kids? You know, I deal with some of the adults who are having to deal with their elderly parents. And unfortunately, some kind of a dramatic event will happen. And all of a sudden, the adult children now have to decide, okay, the hospital said mom can't go back to live on her own. Wow, what do we do? And they're faced with having to make a very quick decision. And maybe mom's not able to really tell them what she would like anymore. Mm. Well, if we had these discussions ahead of time and maybe had put some things in place, then it's not such a burden on the children, which I find so many of my elder adults are really, really are avoiding, and they really are afraid they're going to be a burden on their children. Well, then let's do things so that your wishes are put in what you want. You're going to the type of retirement residence that you want. It's going to have your furniture there, your stuff. They all allow you to bring things. What's important to you? But you know, make those decisions when you're capable. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not easy to make these.
No, it's not.
It's really not easy. And then you're also talking about wills and estate management and executors the whole and all the money that has to change hands and move around. These are not easy things to think about. And you kind of get to a space in your life where you've worked, you've had your kids, they're grown, And so you kind of don't want to make any more big decisions. You
yes.
know, I've made all these big decisions now, just leave me alone. And yet this is probably one of the most important periods of life in terms of making decisions about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes. You worked your whole life. You raised your children. Well, what did you do that for? Right? You worked your whole life so that you could provide for yourself. You could provide for your family. You've raised your children. You've now got whatever you have to sustain yourself throughout the years. Now is when you get to focus on yourself. And this is foreign to a lot of people in that they're just not used to it. They spent their whole life focused on the family, focused on the kids, focused on working, focused on, and they're not used to this idea of focusing on me. And they start to maybe think that looking after myself, well, isn't that being selfish? And I say it's very important to understand that self-care is not selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Looking after yourself, going on a trip, enjoying yourself, right?
Yeah,
treating somebody to something, whatever your means allow.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, because in today's world, we've also come to a very interesting place. The economy of the world right now is such that many young people have serious problems finding a place to live and serious problems figuring out, should I stay in this job or should I go? Should I get something else? Should I go back to school? Should I? And they turn to their parents, rightly so. But as adults, they turn to their parents and say, not only I can't afford a place to live, I can't afford a place to live. And the parents then have to juggle the money to somehow help them to continue to live as adults.
Yes.
And I see that as a conflict. For both age groups. I remember when I left my parents to go to university, I said to myself, I'm never moving back there. I'm on my way out somewhere else. Not that my parents were lovely people. They were. I just didn't want to live with them anymore.
Yes.
And so I see this as a huge conflict for the kids who don't want to live with their parents, but have to because there's no other way. And the parents who don't want their kids to live with them, but they don't see another way either. And I wonder what this new strange place is like for people.
Again, you're hitting on some very good things that my clients are coming to me with. One of the first things in a situation like that is I would want to have everybody involved in a sit down, effective communication session. Learn how to talk to each other openly and honestly and keep it at a nice conversation level so that all different options can be explored, right? Often I find clients get upset because they can only see maybe one option and that option isn't palatable. They're like, I don't want that option. It's the only option I can see. I can't see anything else. Well, mm-hmm. That's where I don't like the term, but that's what they call us, a disinterested third party.
Party, yep.
I'm not disinterested. I'm just a third party who can maybe see four,
options.
Five, six different options and different scenarios that can maybe are a little more palatable.
You're so right. You're so right. And often it takes a disinterested person, and be it someone who can facilitate that conversation, or perhaps it's, you know, your financial advisor who needs to know that your will is in place and, you know, how much money you got and can you afford to do this or whatever the case scenario is. I think that's super important. You know, this is so interesting, Ian. I can't wait to bring you back so that we can talk some more, because there's some many more topics that I know you've experienced every day with people coming to you with questions and needing answers. So thank you so much for today. And I can't wait for our next meeting where we'll cover some more topics.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Madeline Corelli talking with Ian Buchanan, who is a registered psychotherapist. Be sure to listen to Aging, A New Reality next week at this time to hear the second half of Madeline's interview with Mr. Buchanan on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio. Interviews in this series are conducted by Madeline Corelli, technical assistance by Trevor Joyce, production by Kevin Stewart, Olivia Waldrop, and Paige Johnston. Executive producer is Barry Walker. The preceding program has been a co-production of Northumberland 89.7 FM and the Community Training and Development Center.